I'm excited to hear from Brother Lou this morning. I personally have never heard him preach. I know our teenagers have, and some other folks that I know, and they've all said good things about him. So we're looking forward to hearing from Brother Lou this morning. Brother Dan's going to come and sing, and then Brother Lou, you'll be up after that.
Judgment Day, Pilate stood in his hall, looking for a reason to condemn the Lord of all. He questioned my Savior, hoping to appease the crowd. Then with all the answers given, he firmly said out loud, I find no fault in him. The sinner said of the sinless one, from what I see, he should go free. For Calvary, I see no need, for I find no fault in him. On resurrection day, Jesus stood before God's throne, his spotless blood in hand, to purchase back the lost. The sacrifice now made, the Father's judgment satisfied. Then with Jesus' blood applied, the Father gladly cried, I find no fault in him. The Father said of his precious Son, from what I see, they can go free, for Calvary has met their need, and I find no fault in him. And when my race on earth is run, I'll gladly kneel before God's Son, and with the whole world praise his name, and in my heart I'll then proclaim, I find no fault in him. I will sing of God's precious Son. From what I see, I can go free, for Jesus paid my penalty, and I find no fault in him. I can go free, for Jesus paid my penalty, and I find no fault. I find no fault. I find no fault in him.
Amen. All right. Good morning. How are you this morning? Praise the Lord. The last time I was here, it was cold. Amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be anywhere this morning. There's a lot worse places you can be than church. Amen. And I've been in some of them. And so I like being in church. My name is Lou, D. Philip Antonio. You can call me Brother D, Brother Lou, hey you. I understand you can't say D. Philip Antonio. And it's 15 letters. And I have been places where they have put my name on the board, you know, in missions conference, they put my name on the board, and, you know, they put them in those one-foot letters, and, you know, 30 feet later, and they spelled it wrong. That's always a blessing. But I'm glad to be here, and I sure do want to thank you for the privilege. Please tell your pastor, I said thank you very much. The accommodations are wonderful, close enough that I won't get lost. Now, I'm the worst evangelist in the world when it comes to directions. I have GPS on my telephone. I have a GPS in my car. And neither one of them usually can find where I need to go. That's always a blessing. But I am glad to be here this morning. I like the accommodations right around the corner so that I can't get lost. And if I do get lost, I can call somebody and tell them where I am, and they'll come find me. But it's my privilege to be here. I hope you'll be here in your place tonight. If you have your Bible this morning, if you have your Bible, find the book of Mark, chapter 10, if you would. Mark chapter 10. Now, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. Not for my sermon, but I have some annoying quirks. Number one, as I've gotten older, I can't see. You know, I had a World War II vet that was, he passed away about 5 years ago. His name was Cub McElvain. His first name was Llewellyn, and he was on the battleship Arizona that they sunk in Hawaii. Well, he had shore leave that night that they attacked, and he woke up to his ship and his friends gone, and or sinking and burning. And I used to go by him every Sunday. You know, he'd come to our church. I want him to Christ. He'd come by our church, and I'd go by and shake his hand every morning. I said, "Cub, how you doing?" He goes, preacher, come here. Let me tell you something." He said, "Remember this: old age ain't for sissies." You know, I was 30, and I said, yeah, oh, sure, okay. Now that I'm in my mid-50s, my eyes, I'm going to take these glasses on and off, so I don't apologize for taking them on and off, because if I leave them on and look up, I won't see you, and if I look down without them, I won't see my sermon, and we'll both be in trouble. And so I apologize ahead of time for taking them on and off, but it's just, you say, why don't you just get a pair of bifocals? Well, number one, I'm too cheap, and number two, I'm too vain to wear glasses all the time. So, there are the reasons. Mark chapter 10, let's stand together, please. You'll find verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Can I move this, brother? I don't want to break it. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What will that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Let's pray together. Father, we sure do love you this morning. And Holy Ghost of God, we sure do need you to speak through me to your people this morning. God, I need your touch. I need unction from on high. And so I yield myself best way I know how. And Lord, I just ask you to bless in spite of the fellow preaching this morning. Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'll take control of every heart and of every life. Lord, I pray you'll save the lost. I pray you'll draw Christians to you this morning. And God, I pray that as we look at what I call the beautiful, precise picture of salvation in the Bible, I pray, Holy Ghost of God, that you'll convict those that need salvation this morning. And then I pray that you'll help us that are saved to draw closer to you because of what we see. Now, Lord, we just ask you to bless in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you like. I will have you out of here quick as I can. That doesn't mean anything to an evangelist, but just so you know, I'll attempt. But can I say this morning, look, I like having a good time. I'm in church all the time, so just amuse me. Because I'm in church almost every day for the next 3 weeks and have been for the last 3 weeks. And I love being in church, and it's what I get to do. It's my privilege. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the beautiful and precise picture of salvation. You see, the healing of blind Bartimaeus, I believe is a beautiful picture of the salvation of a lost soul. And this morning, I want to look at just a few of the aspects that I see that actually transpire here in this, in our text. I want you to, we're going to look at it several places. Look at verse 46, and I'll draw your attention to, I want to draw your attention to the place, Jericho. The Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I draw your attention to the place Jericho. Can I say Jericho is the picture of sin, or I call it the picture of sin's condition. The Bible says, and the historians and Bible writers have said this about the place Jericho. They've said two different things about this place. As I've read some of the commentaries and looked at the maps and saw what they call the way from Jerusalem down to Jericho, that little passageway. Can I say this place Jericho is a bad place in that it was dangerous? Jericho was a bad place where travelers who went from Jerusalem to Jericho were often robbed or beaten and sometimes murdered. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 30, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Can I say the Jericho way, listen, from Jerusalem to Jericho, Jericho and that whole passageway, it was a dangerous road. It was a bad place. It's dangerous. Anytime you leave Jerusalem, the place of blessing, you always are going to go down from there. Because the Bible says that a certain man went down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place of blessing. And Jericho was the place without blessing. But it's a dangerous place. And it was a dangerous journey. And few, if any, ever traveled by themselves alone. And they say that the Jericho Road, as I've looked at the map, the Jericho Road winds in and out. And it's a perfect place for ambushes and for those that are seeking to do you harm and take what you have from you. It has wonderful places where that type of mindset is made for. Can I say Jerusalem was a place of, because Jerusalem's a place of blessing, when you leave, you always go out and away from the place of blessing. You go down and out of the will of God. And can I say Jerusalem or Jericho, this place is a picture of sin's condition because it's a dangerous place. But can I say, secondly, it was a barren place. Not only is it a dangerous place, it's a destitute place. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as in Luke chapter 18, verse 35, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the highway, by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. Can I say, Jericho was a desolate place. It was a place that was destitute of excitement. It was a needy place and a comfortless place and a friendless place. It was an empty place. Can I say, on the Jericho Road, there were bad spots that everyone feared alone. It was a scary place. But can I say it was a solitary place? Because on the Jericho Road, there was no one that you could count on. On the Jericho Road, there was no one to talk to as friends do. It was a silent place. Jericho, as we see blind Bartimaeus, he didn't understand what all the commotion meant. He didn't understand what all the excitement was about. Can I say this morning, Jericho was a place without solace. It was a place without comfort. It was a silent place and a solitary place and a scary place because it was destitute. And it was dangerous. Can I say, my friends, people that are outside of salvation, they are in a destitute and in a dangerous place. And I believe Jericho is a type and picture of sin's condition. Bartimaeus had never encountered or heard a whole lot of commotion on this road. Can I say he was used to begging there, but he was used to it being lonely and very quiet. And it startled him when Jesus came out of Jericho with his apostles and, the Bible says, a great multitude. And it startled him. He said, what's all this noise going on? Can I say this morning, this place, Jericho, is a picture of sin's condition. It's dangerous and it's destitute. Let me say secondly, look at verse 46 again. The Bible says, and there came to Jericho, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Not only do we see the place Jericho as a picture of sin's condition, but I see the patient, Bartimaeus. He is the picture of sin's captives, of sin's contamination. You see, Bartimaeus, notice what it calls Bartimaeus. It doesn't just say, and there sat Bartimaeus. It says, blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Can I say, his diagnosis is this. He's blind, and he's a beggar. He's blind, and he's a beggar. A picture of sin's captive. Can I say, his diagnosis, he's blind and he's a beggar. May I just make several observations about his blindness? Can I say his physical blindness pictured a man not able to make it home on his own? But can I say his spiritual blindness is a picture of a man not able to make it to heaven on his own? Can I tell you, my friends, you cannot do it alone. If you're here this morning under the sound of my voice, you cannot do this on your own. You'll never make it to heaven by yourself. Can I say his spiritual blindness, his physical blindness was a picture of a man not able to make it home on his own, but his spiritual blindness was a picture of a man not able to make it to heaven on his own. Can I say secondly, his physical blindness was a picture of a man who was lost on his road. Can you imagine? Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. I got my eyes closed too. I hope I'm not too close to the steps. I'm not moving. Don't look and see if I fall down the steps. You hear a noise, just don't laugh. What can you do right now? Now, you've got an idea what the room looks like. You got your eyes closed. You got an idea what the room looks like. But if there was an emergency and you needed to get out right away and you had no sight, the only thing you could depend on is what you know around you. Can I say Bartimaeus? You can look at me. Bartimaeus was, I believe, was born blind. He had never had sight. He couldn't depend on what he knew around him because he had never known anything. He had never seen anything to know anything. Now, I understand he had hearing and he had the sense of touch so that he could get around. But can I say he was physically blind? But can I say his physical blindness was a picture of a man who was lost on his road? But can I say that spiritual blindness was a picture of a man who was lost on life's road. His physical blindness also was a picture of a man without a guide. He didn't have any guide. He was a man without a guide. You see, when you have your eyes, you have sight to guide you. That's why it's called eyesight. You have sight that can guide you. But when you're blind, you don't have a guide. And can I say this morning, his physical blindness was a picture of a man without a guide. Can I say his spiritual blindness was a picture of a man without God? Without God. Bartimaeus was blind both physically, but most importantly, spiritually. He was lost and on his way to hell, just like you and I used to be. Or maybe you are this morning. Can I say, the physical man the physical beggar pictured a man without food. Pictured a man without rations. Pictured a man without supply. Pictured a man totally without help. But can I say the spiritual beggar pictured a man without faith. Pictured a man without redemption. Pictured a man without salvation and a man without any hope at all. Can you imagine? No, you can't because you're an American. You can't imagine having no help and no hope. And most of you are saved people probably. And you're supposed to love God, but most of you have never... Listen, think back what it was to be lost without any hope in this world. That's how Bartimaeus was. Can I say he was the picture of sin's captive and contamination. His diagnosis was that he was blind. And he was a beggar. Can I say, secondly, I notice verse 47. I want to see his declaration. The Bible says, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Can I say, I believe, listen, he cried out for help, but he cried out in hope. He had heard the whispers, hey, that Jesus can help. He's raised the dead and He's healed the blind and He's made the lame to walk. He probably can help. And he had heard about Jesus. And when the Bible says that he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that passed by, he said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." His declaration. His declaration. It was bold. He wanted to get God's attention. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." I want you to look at verse 48. The Bible says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me! Hey, I'm over here!'" I don't know about you. When I was lost and undone, I was 16 years old when I got saved. I got saved at the Park Bible Baptist Church in Pennsville, New Jersey, where you cannot go this morning and get saved. But 40 years ago, January 40 years ago, I got saved. And I mean, but I was looking for God, but thank God He was looking for me. And I didn't have to look too far because He was always there. And I grew up in it. Listen, I don't want to make anybody mad, not right off. But I grew up I was the head altar boy in a Catholic church. And I grew up and I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do all I could and I was working my way to heaven. And I was a good Catholic. But I was still lost and undone. I'd laid my head on my pillow and I knew there was something missing. And I'll not tell you my testimony, but almost 2 years, I had the same dream every night. And it was me falling off a cliff into this fiery pit. And I'd wake up before I hit the bottom screaming. I went to doctors. I went to a psycho doctor. They took me to. They said, he's losing his mind. That's what they told me. You're losing your mind. My family doctor, I'm an Italian boy. We had family doctor. He was an Italian guy. He said this. He said, "What are you so worried about?" He said, "All that religion is nothing more than a man-made crutch to control the minds of people." That's what my family doctor said. And I said, "Doc, there's got to be something to it." He goes, "There ain't nothing to it. When you're dead, and that's it." He didn't make it better, he made it worse. Bless his heart. And here is Bartimaeus, and he has a declaration that's bold. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But I want you to see in verse 48, not only his declaration, but I want you to see his deterrence. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." "Shut your stinking mouth, you filthy, dirty, blind piece of garbage." The Savior ain't got no time for you. You're nothing. His deterrence. That's what the devil will try to do. You see, Bartimaeus was told to shut up and to keep quiet and to hold his peace by those around him, trying to keep him from getting to Jesus. The devil will do that to you too. He'll do that in the form of people, or he'll do that in the form of friends. He'll do that in the form of parents or church members or pastors. He'll do that in the form of your close personal friends. He'll do that in your own mind. The devil will mess with you. Here's some of the things he'll say. "You don't need that stuff. Hey, it ain't stuff. And if it is, it's the best stuff there ever was. But it ain't stuff. It's Jesus. And He ain't stuff. I got stuff in my garage that needs to be in a yard sale." Amen. That's stuff. But it ain't. But people will tell you, "You don't need that stuff." That's what my family doctor told me. "You don't need that stuff." Here's another thing that the devil will do. He'll say, "You're a good enough person. You're a good enough person." That's what people are going to tell you. You may even think, "Well, I'm a pretty good person. I do all right." And if somebody's got you convinced that you're a good enough person and you don't need God, The Bible says that is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, there's none good. You're not a good enough person. Can I say another thing the devil will do to you? He'll say this. Well, you've got your own church. Can I say it's not about church? It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then the devil will say this. What will your family say? Let me ask you a question. If your child was blind and he came to church and God allowed him to see, are you going to be mad? No, listen. If my child had some kind of malady like this, if he was blind and he could not see and he went to church and God healed him, I don't think I'd be upset with the pastor. I don't think I'd be upset with the church. I tell you what I would do. I'd want to go and find out what in the world's going on, because I need help in other areas. But here's what the devil will say. Oh, hey, what are your family going to say? I don't know. But I used to be blind, but now I see. I don't care what they think. Here's another thing that the devil will say. He'll say this. You got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. I have done funerals for 3-week-old babies. I have done funerals for 102-year-old ladies. And I've done funerals between there. From 3 weeks to 102 years plus a handful of weeks. And people say, well, you've got plenty of time. Can I ask you a question? How do you know? Do you got the schedule somewhere that I could look at that tells me when my time's up? You say, well, we got 70 years. Well, how come people die at 3 weeks old? You don't know how much time you have. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. You're a puff of smoke. That's what God says. God says we're a vapor. In the span of eternity, we're a puff of smoke. It goes from here to there and it's gone. You never see it again. Can I say this morning, you don't know that you have plenty of time. You ought to get that thing settled now. Another thing the devil will try to do. Well, you know, and I can't tell you how many hundreds of people have made this statement. Well, you know, I've got my own beliefs. I've got my own beliefs. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. But people say, well, I've got my own beliefs. And I talk to them over and over again. I say, well, aren't your beliefs based on the Word of God? Well, you know, some of them are and some of them are based on other things. I've got my own way and I'd rather not talk about it. What it amounts to is they just don't want to hear the truth. But can I tell you, listen, his deterrence, blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting there and these are some of the things that came to my mind when I thought about deterrence. When people said, hush! The master got no time for you. The devil will tell you the same thing. So will your little pea brain. You'll say, you don't need that stuff. You're a good enough person. You got your own church. What's your family going to say or think? You've got plenty of time. You've got your own beliefs. How about this one? Well, I believe I'll just do it another time. I'll do it another time. The Bible says, for he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't have plenty of time. You don't have tomorrow. You got to do it. You got to do it now. Here's another one of the last deterrents. I thought about this. My friends will think I'm weird. Can I tell you something? The night I got saved, God did something for me that you can't even imagine as a 16-year-old young man. I had been having all kinds of problems, scared to death. I was going to die and go to hell. I was 16 years old. Look at me. 16 years old. And to this point, I had never, ever, one time slept with a light off in my bedroom because I was scared of the dark. I was scared at nighttime. I was scared of the unknown. And I figured if I go to sleep, I might wake up in hell. I'm going to have that dream again. And so I slept with the light on. And I was 16. I'm thanking God I wasn't a girl. Because, see, boys don't have sleepovers. But, see, girls do. And they sit up and they talk all night. La, 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 la. I guess they do. I don't know. I'm thanking God boys don't do that. I was too busy working anyway. But I'd had to have the light on all night long because I was scared of the dark. I was scared of the dark. And you see, when the devil says, what are your friends going to think? They're going to think you're weird. Hey, I might be a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. Amen. And I don't care what anybody thinks. When the night I got saved, I mean, I literally was in a back room. In a basement room on a concrete floor that was unfinished in a metal chair. And a fellow that took the Word of God didn't know all the Bible. He took a chick track and led me to Christ. And it was a chick track, how to get to heaven from earth. And he showed me the picture of earth and all the little people dancing around on it, and it was cute. And then he showed me a picture of heaven and God and everybody there. And then the next page he flipped to was the great gulf and the fire between heaven and earth and the fire jumping out of there. And I went, and I slid the chair back. I said, I've seen that every night in my dreams. And his hand started to shake. And I'm thinking, this is going to be good. His hand started to shake. He got choked up. He said, well, what? I said, I've seen that every night for the last 2 years. I said, that's hell, isn't it? He said, yeah. I said, how do I span that gap? He didn't know what to do. He just turned the page. And the next page was a cross, a bloody cross, laying between earth and heaven. I said, that's Jesus's, isn't it? And there were people going from earth to heaven on the cross. He said, that's how you span the gap. That's how you get there. It's what Jesus has done for you, not what you can do, because you can't do anything of your own. Can I say, I would not let my friends send me to hell. I would not let my family or my friends or any acquaintance that I have, I don't care, you say what you want, I would not let someone send me to hell because of how they're going to feel about me. Not only do I see the place Jericho, which is a picture of sin, and the patient Bartimaeus, which is a picture of the sinner, of sin's captive. But can I say, look at verse 49. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now we don't have here a picture. We have the great physician. The personal Savior has showed up on the scene. And the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. I'm going to give you a couple things about this. About our great physician, our Savior and our God. Can I say, I want you to see Christ's compassion. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still. I couldn't get over this. Every time I read my Bible, I still can't get over the fact that a sinner's cry got his attention. And the God of the universe stopped. People are telling Bartimaeus, shut your mouth, you dirty no good. You're no good. You're useless to society. You're blind. You're a beggar. Nobody wants you. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, the Bible says he stopped. He stood still. Thank God that the moment you cry out to God, He's listening. Can I say that Christ's compassion, He was willing to stand still. The Bible says, in Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Can I say, There are different accounts in the Bible of this same thing. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes and immediately he received sight. Can I say, He's a God of compassion. Thank God that He loves us and He cares about us. And you and I are important to Him. We're important to Him. You say, well, preacher, this message is about getting people saved that are lost. What about me? Take your Bible and go to Psalm chapter 34 quickly. Psalm chapter 34. I hope you don't mind using your Bible in church. Some people do. They get upset. Psalm chapter 34. Notice verse 15 quickly. I'm racing the clock. Psalm chapter 34, verse 15. We're doing well. The Bible says in verse 15 of Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's talking about those that are saved. And His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, that's you and I, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Can I tell you this morning, my friends, the cry of a sinner, and you're still a sinner saved by grace, amen, but you're still a sinner. And can I tell you that the cry of a lost sinner gets Jesus' attention, but the cry of a saved sinner still gets His attention. It makes Him stand still and pay attention because He's already looking. He knows what we're going through. Can I tell you something this morning, my friends? I thank God. Can I say this great physician has compassion? Let me say secondly, I see Christ's call of comfort. Not only Christ's compassion, but His call of comfort. The Bible says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus said, where is he? Bring him to me. He knew where he was. And I said, Bartimaeus' call was a sweet, comforting command to come to Jesus, just like yours was, just like mine was. And I say, He calls for salvation. He calls us for service. He'll call us just to love on us for soulless and sweetness. He wants to be close to us. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, even to those of us that are saved and are going through trouble, He just says, just come to me. Just come to me. Can I tell you something this morning, my friends? If you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, Jesus just with His arms open said, just come to me. Just come to me. I love you. Come to me. I'll help you. Come to me. I'll save you. Come to me. He does the same thing for you and I that are saved, that are going through trouble and going through heartache and going through burdens and things that we didn't think, we don't think, we're not sure how we're going to make it through. Jesus says, come unto me, all of you that are labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Just come to me. I'll take care of it. Can I tell you something this morning? Not only do I see Christ's compassion, but I see His loving call of comfort. I sure am glad that He loves us and that He calls us to Him. And then lastly, I take your Bible and look at the last couple of verses, verse 51, 50 through 52. The Bible says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Can I say, I see here the prescription or the picture of the serum, the picture of sin's cure. The serum is simply coming to Jesus, is accepting Bartimaeus' repentance. The Bible says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. His garments were a representation of the old life and the old way. Him casting them away was a representation of a change of mind. He's leaving them for Him. His rising and coming to Jesus was a picture of a change of direction. A change of direction. The Bible says, repent ye and believe the gospel. He got rid of all the old world. He was willing to leave everything he had behind, which was next to nothing, to meet Jesus. So I see Bartimaeus' repentance. The old garment for new garments. Your old way for the new way. Well, let me rephrase that. Your old way for His only way. And what you know, what He knew for the one who knows it all. I see that was Bartimaeus' repentance. I see Bartimaeus' acceptance. And Jesus said to him, Lord. And Jesus answered and said to him, What wilt thou have me? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He's simply asking, Lord, I just need you to take care of this problem. But he called him Lord. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Can I say he asked Jesus to give him new sight? He called Jesus Lord, a complete acceptance of Christ and all that He is and all that He stands for. Calling Jesus Lord is a submission to the person of Christ as Savior. It's a submission to the power of Christ and a submission to the position of Christ as Savior. Then I see Bartimaeus' salvation. Jesus said, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, I mean that fast, he went from blind Bartimaeus who could not see to seeing Bartimaeus who can see at everything. And his first sight was Jesus Christ. Wow. One of these days we're going to get the same. But here's Bartimaeus' salvation. For the first time in his life he can now see. Free from all the problems and all, free from the blindness, no longer having to beg. Now a whole entire new life is set forth for him. I want you to see his participation. And immediately he received his sight. Notice this. And followed Jesus in the way. Can I tell you something this morning? God wants to save you. But He doesn't want to save you from hell only. He's got a whole life, a whole road to travel on for you and I. We should follow Him in the way. Can I say something, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ? If you're saved this morning, listen to me. You're my brother and sister in Christ. Except for this last point, and followed Him in the way, that's the only part that really applies to you. Let me ask you, are you following Him this morning in the way? Are you following Him in the way? You know how you follow somebody? Now, if there was a miracle in your life, like in Bartimaeus' life. And by the way, there was the moment you got saved. It was something supernatural from heaven that you could not do for yourself. You were literally taken from a lost person on your way to hell, and now you're placed in the family of God. You're a saved person on your way to heaven, never to suffer the punishment of hell. That's supernatural. That's pretty impressive. If God did that for you, don't you think you ought to follow Him in the way? Can I say this morning, Jesus wants to save you this morning, Christian. Or wants to save this morning, my friend. If you're here this morning and if you're not sure about your salvation this morning, why don't you let us show you how the Bible, what the Bible says about how to go to heaven? Don't wait. Don't wonder. Don't think, well, you got plenty of time. Because you don't know. You don't know. I've literally been in services where people have left the service lost. And they've said this, Preacher, I got to take some time to think about this. Never had any more chance. Never had another chance. Never. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. But I know this. I've seen God take people out like that. I have been in meetings where people have driven out of the parking lot and didn't make it a mile down the street and were killed by a truck. I have been in those services. Thank God they're not all the time. Hallelujah. But you don't know how much time you have. And if you're here under the sound of my voice this morning, listen, if you're not sure about your salvation this morning, it'd be a good time to take care of it. He loves you this morning. He's calling you this morning. Come unto me. The Bible says that Bartimaeus' call, just Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me, calls the Savior, the God of the universe, to stand still and said, tell Him come. I want to talk to Him. Can I say He loves you this morning? He'll save you this morning if you let Him. My question to you is this. Will you let Him this morning? Would you bow your head for just a moment with every head bowed and every eye closed? Heavenly Father, would you please bless the invitation this morning? God, we're right on time, but I just wonder this morning, might there be some folks here this morning that be honest with God this morning Lord, there's no way in the world I can save anybody. I know that, but God, you can. But there's probably some folks in here this morning. I know there's a lot of church folks in here. We've got a visitor or two, but I know there's a lot of church folks in here. A lot of people that have made professions of faith, but I wonder this morning, do you lay your head on your pillow and doubt? I mean, are you one day? You know if you're saved or not. You just do. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation. By the way, you can't talk me out of mine. And if somebody can talk you out of it or preach you out of your salvation, you don't have what a lot of us have. And I just wonder this morning, you be honest with God this morning. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I am absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, sure. I mean, I know that I know that I know that I know for a Bible reason. I'm saved and on my way to heaven, no doubt about it. Slip your hand up. Preacher, that's me. I'm saved and knowing. Slip your hand up and hold it there, would you please? All right, you can put your hands down. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder this morning, somebody would say, preacher, be honest with God this morning. I'm just honest with God this morning. I've got some doubts this morning. I'd like to get them cleared up. I'm just not 100% sure. Preacher, I'm just being honest with God. I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. Can I pray for you this morning? Anybody like that this morning? Slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I appreciate you praying for me. I'm concerned for my soul. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anybody like that at all this morning? How many will say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it, but I'm not following Jesus in the way like I ought to. I'm not doing what Bartimaeus did. I'm not following him as closely as I should. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, would you please bless the invitation? Lord, it didn't seem like anybody raised their hand saying they were saved, saying they were lost. So I pray this morning everybody's saved, and I wonder this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're saved, I wonder if you've been baptized this morning. Have you been baptized? If you've never been baptized, you need to come forward and we'll line you up for baptism. If you're saved and baptized and not a church member, you're from another church and you'd like to join, you can talk to the assistant pastors down here in the front and the men down in the front. We'll line something up. We'll show you some Bible if we agree together. I believe we can make you members. But can I say this morning, are you saved this morning? Do you know for sure? This is a beautiful, precise picture of salvation. Everything about us just falls right in line. I thank God He's a precise God. Can I say this morning, if you're lost this morning, He'll save you. If you're saved this morning, are you following Him in the way like you ought to? Heavenly Father, please bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Sis, you go ahead and play. God spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe just come to me to get around an old-fashioned altar and say, God, ain't following like I ought to. If you're lost this morning, you ought to come and get saved. If you're lost this morning, you ought to come and get saved. Christian, how's your walk this morning? Are you following Jesus in the way? We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, Lord willing. Are you following Him in the way? Are you saved this morning? If not, you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Let us take our Bible and show you how the Bible says about how to go to heaven. If you're saved, never been baptized, you need to come talk to one of these men at the front and let them talk to you and explain baptism and line you up for baptism and church membership. Maybe you're looking for a place to save and baptize and looking for a place to rest your membership. You have found a great place. You need to look no further. You found the place. Why don't you come get in? And Christian, church member, are you following Him in the way? That phrase, in the way, is used over and over again in the Bible. Are you following Him in the way? Brother Luke, why don't you come?